Senate State Affairs is called to order. The time is 10:15, and it is the 10th of April. We do have a quorum to conduct business consisting of Senator Bundy, Stevens, French, and myself, McGuire. We have two items on the agenda today. The first is House Bill 368, Ethics, Legislative and Governor, Lieutenant Governor, and H.J.R. 41, Repeal of Section 511 of Public Law Number 109 through 222. And let's go ahead and we had taken up when we were last here, House Bill 368. And what I'd like to do is have the sponsor's representative, along with Joyce Anderson from the Select Committee on Ethics, to come up, please, and tell us, after all of the bills that have passed through this committee, of which are many, and some of them overlapped with one another, what is left in this bill that we need to accomplish?
Okay, Madam Chair, for the record, Joyce Anderson, Administrator for the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. Section 1 and 2 have already been deleted by an amendment at the previous meeting, so we'll go to Section 3.
Okay.
And I'm talking about version N.A.
Okay.
Section 3
N is in Nancy.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah. Dot A.
Yes. Section 3 is the gift statute, and the Legislative Ethics Committee recommended that the gift statute be relaxed for immediate family members because at this point, because of the strict prohibition last year regarding gifts from lobbyists, even immediate family members of legislative staffers were not allowed to receive a gift from their spouse or their sibling or parent. And so the Ethics Committee made a recommendation that that is an unintended consequence, and so we're recommending that that be changed.
Okay.
The way the bill is written right now
Madam
is...
Chair?
Yes, Senator French.
Just a point of clarification. Does that pertain to just those spouses and immediate family members who are lobbyists, or all family members?
Senator French, through the chair, thank you. Just those spouses that are lobbyists. And I was just going to clarify that. Lobbyist spouses or immediate family members, which would be a parent, child, and sibling. Also, since legislators are not allowed by statute last year to have a spouse who is a family member, they were not included in this. It was just
Ms. Anderson. Point of clarification.
They were not. I'm sorry. The way
clarify
I said,
that.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Who was? I got a spouse.
Yes.
A family member, and
it's
I'm not
over.
Changing that.
They are not allowed to register. Excuse me. They're not allowed to register as a lobbyist. I'll get that out right.
And you know what? And she's not allowed to register as a lobbyist either.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Now that I'm turning color of my jacket here.
We understand.
It's been a long week, so I apologize.
Okay. And so on the underlying question that Senator French asked, you know, in the flurry of all these bills, we haven't done anything to change the old rule that you can give gifts to each other within a family unit with no lobbyist, so long as they're not intended to influence you. They're just gifts within your family unit.
That's correct.
Okay. So this is simply for the case of a member that has an immediate family member who's a lobbyist.
That's correct.
Okay. All righty. Let's keep going then. So that's section number 3.
Section 4, Madam Chair and committee members, is a section regarding interns and volunteers, and all we did in that section was split the two. There's absolutely no language change at all. We just made it into two sections instead of one, so there's no change there.
Okay.
Section 5 is the 4 and 5 when we split that. Section 6 changes the summaries of public decisions which have to do with complaints and advisory opinions from a semi-annual official publication to an annual. We have not published semi-annual those reports since I've been on board in 2001, so it's a change to just make it to current practice.
Okay.
Section 7 is a section that was recommended by the Legislative Ethics Committee to add a third fine structure. Currently, there are two fine structures. One is for $2 a day up to a maximum of $100 for a late disclosure. There's also a $25 fine for an inadvertent late disclosure. The Ethics Committee is suggesting that there be a very hefty fine when there is a willful late disclosure.
Okay.
And that fine would go to $100 a day up to a maximum of $2,500, based on an experience that the Ethics Committee had last year.
Okie dokie. I think we now know what the bill does. And we had previously adopted an amendment that I offered that eliminated sections 1 and 2, because those portions of the bill are addressed in House Bill 305, which left our committee. So now we have the bill before us. Is there any further committee discussion on what is left of House Bill 368? Senator Bundy.
The amendment number 2 that we have on the table here, is that going to be offered?
I don't intend to offer it. No. Okay.
Could we just have a...
Amendment number 2, so I'll withdraw amendment number 2. Senator Stevens.
Could we have just a little more discussion about the willful issue? Have we talked about that, what that means, and how you define that, and am I guilty of it?
No.
What do you mean by willful, and who determines it?
Senator Stevens, through the chair. The committee felt, and I believe there is a definition of willful, of which I don't have in front of me at the moment, but there is a definition in the statutes that deals with willful. The committee, and you are a member of the committee, and this may come back to you after I talk a little bit, we had a former legislator who refused to file their end-of-service disclosures, and Senator Bundy's on the committee as well, so he may remember this. And basically what happened was is that the individual was sent a certified letter. They did not accept that certified letter. We ended up sending another certified letter. That former legislator did sign for that certified letter, ended up calling me, telling me that this individual would not file the disclosures. We had issued a fine. The committee had looked at a fine. The individual will not pay the fine, and that was it, and hung up on me. And so the ethics committee at that time felt because the maximum fine, and there were two disclosures this individual needed to file, was only $100 for each fine, we fined the individual $200. The AG's office will not follow up on any fines that are owed to the state unless they're over $500. They don't feel that it's worth, you know, money and time and effort. And so the ethics committee also felt, that was one reason, the ethics committee also felt that there needs to be some teeth in the ethics law for legislators and staffers, yeah, who are leaving either service as a legislator or leaving service as a legislative employee, that they do have to file these disclosures, which was an advisory opinion issued by the ethics committee and has since been put into law with HB 109 last year. So the intent was to put the teeth in regarding that.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions? Okay, is there a motion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would move that House Bill number 368, as amended, be referred out of this committee onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Okay, is there an objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, House Bill 368, as amended, with individual recommendations and fiscal notes, has moved out of Senate State Affairs. That brings us to our last bill of the year. Oh, we're taking an at ease. And we do have CS for House Joint Resolution number 41 before us. The bill's sponsor is in the other body with a call placed on the House. And so the sponsor's representative, Deneen, will present.
Thank you, Chair McGuire. I'm Deneen Tuck, Legislative Aide, Chief of Staff to Representative Gruenberg.
And Deneen, one moment. My apologies. Senator Green has joined us for the record.
Thank
Please
you.
Continue.
We have just last week was made aware by the Fairbanks mayor that there was strong implications to Section 511 of the Tax Increase Prevention and Reconciliation Act. This provision was added by Congress and I believe it was 2005. If it remains law in 2011, there is a potential that the state of Alaska, to communities who are making more $100 million each year on goods and services, that we would start withholding an extra 3% from our vendors to pay to the federal government.
That is just
And for Anchorage alone, the state of Alaska itself has a 23-year-old system, accounting system. The city of Anchorage alone, it would cost them $250,000 to start replacing the system, and then on a yearly basis it would cost them anywhere from $100,000 to $250,000 to operate the system. It would also mean that they would have to hire another staff member, and to be able to do that function, and it takes away the procurement cards and puts us back into the check writing system. So in a potential, I don't, you'll notice in one of your handouts, I believe it's in the NASBO handout, where it talks about it could potentially cost $6.2 billion. And Kim, do you remember? I'm sorry, I don't remember if that was statewide or...
I believe it would be nationwide, okay. All the states and all local governments of spending more than $100 million a year on goods and services, mm-hmm. and federal government agencies as well.
So with that, this has a very strong potential that could cost the state of Alaska quite a bit of money. I apologize for our lateness in bringing this to attention, but it was just brought to our attention last week.
Got it.
And we have talked, we got together with Chair or Speaker Harris and the Chair of Rules, Representative Coghill, and asked them about it, and it was something that they also felt strong about. So we talked with them to introduce this resolution. Thank you.
Yep, and you've got a lot of support because we were not thinking about meeting, taking up any other matter, and we had some people approach us about it. So thank you for bringing it to our attention. And is there anyone here in the audience that wishes to testify on HJR 41? Is there anyone online? Okay, hearing and seeing none, public testimony is closed. It brings the resolution back before us for committee discussion. Is there a motion?
Senator
French?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Who, if anyone, would be opposed to this? Is there any
committee out there? The IRS.
To the best of my knowledge, the only ones would be federal. There's nobody within the state that I have talked to from Fairbanks, Juneau, and Anchorage, both with three places, city, universities, and school districts, who have all in support to repeal this section.
Follow up.
Yes, Senator French.
Have we gotten any resolutions from, you know, municipalities, from the University of Alaska and so forth, telling us to take this action?
We have emails that I have that I did not include into the packet. The only resolution that I was aware of that was a draft resolution was the one that came from the mayor of Fairbanks, and it was an HR. Let me see if I can find it here for you real quick.
Senator French, if I may, while she's looking through the chair, I'm a member of the National, Kim Garnero, Director of Finance for the State of Alaska, and I'm a member of the National Association of State Auditors, Controllers, and Treasurers, which represent all 50 states, and that organization did pass a resolution in 2006 supporting the repeal of this federal law.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's the sort of thing I wanted to hear.
Senator Stevens.
Would an amendment be in order to disband the IRS?
Oh, good thought.
Anything further? Big thinker. Okay, Senator Green.
Ms. Madam Chairman, I would move HJR 41 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Okay, any objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, so moved. We're adjourned for the year.
Thank you.